hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts, Jacob Cazell and Jeff Janey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. I am Jacob, and with me is my co-host, Jeff. How are you doing today, Jeff?
I'm doing great, Jacob. How are you?
I can't complain. We are back with another tech-heavy episode for you guys and got a whole bunch of stuff. And Jeff's going to talk about the new iPhone that he got. We've got some reader feedback and all kinds of cool stuff. If you guys have questions, comments, you want to call and tell us what your favorite 80s song is, we got a whole bunch last week, so that's great. I think that really hit a nerve with all of our listeners. You can do that on our call-in line, and that number is 317-643-1212. You can also email us, tweet us, get in touch with us on our Facebook page, all of that fun stuff. If you want to support the show and throw us a buck or two or a Maserati, you know, any of those things, you can do that on our Patreon page. And that is patreon.com/nobettershow. And Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. All of our patrons help keep the show going. We really appreciate it, guys. Like I said, we had a bunch of people get in touch with us and give us some 80s, favorite 80s songs. Let's see here. My girlfriend said, Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. We actually had that one submitted a couple of times. Some more Def Leppard. Melissa S. said, Rock of Ages by Def Leppard. I think one of your buddies, Todd, said Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. Solid song. Solid. Awesome video.
Solid choice. Yeah.
I Can't Drive 55 by Sammy Hagar from Craig P. Missing You by John Waite, and that is from Ellen. She says it is the best 80s song ever. And I got to say, I don't know that one by title. I cannot think of what that song is. I haven't gone and looked it up to see if I know it or not. Do I know it? Is it a common 80s song, Jeff?
I don't know it.
Maybe it's not the best 80s song, Ellen.
Well, maybe it is, and we just don't know.
We'll have to check it out.
That is entirely possible, I'm just going to say.
And then the last one we got for this week is Cat People Putting Out Fire by David Bowie, and that comes from Howie B., who says, I just love it. And again, that's another one that I might know the song, but I don't know it by title. I'm going to have to go play some catch up on these songs.
Does not sound familiar, but you know, hey.
Howie B. also wrote in. We got two emails from Howie. It's been a bunch of stuff from him. And he had an interesting point of view. He said, Jacob, glad to hear you're well. Last week you made the comment that few people buy their iPhones outright. True in the U.S., I'm sure. Let me tell you how we Canadians are screwed by the big three. If I went back to Telus, I could get an iPhone 6S, 64 gig, for $530 down, and then $80 monthly plan, which includes 1 gigabyte of data on a 2-year plan. That's a grand total of $2,518. But I'd probably keep it for 3 years like my current iPhone, with a total cost of $3,478.
Oh,
it's a lot of money. If I buy the thing from a local Apple reseller, it'd be $1,029 and then $43 a month with the same data from a lower cost carrier called Kudu, which is also owned by Telus, for a grand total of $2,189. Over 3 years, cost is $2,710. So a $750 savings over 3 years if he buys it outright.
Okay.
But the sticker price is so high that my other half is balking, so I'm stuck with my iPhone 5. So you thought I was bad, Jeff. I have a 5S at least.
Jeez.
Don't complain about the cost of iPhone ownership in the U.S. Man, you know, we don't really think. I mean, we are very U.S. centric, and we don't think about, you know, how it is up in the Great White North. But man, that's
what
sucks.
They get for being so polite.
Yeah, maybe if you guys were a little more rude to your cellular carriers, they'd back down.
Just
oh, it's going to be $1,029. Oh, okay, I can do that, I guess.
Yeah.
But then Howie followed up a couple of days later, and he wrote, turns out that the wife okayed my purchase of a new iPhone today.
Yay!
Yes. I am now rocking a 64 gig space gray iPhone 6S. I think the 3D touch is much more than a gimmick. It might be the best innovation since the touchscreen on the original iPhone. I know you have some thoughts on that, Jeff. So let's jump right in. You got your iPhone 6S Plus.
I did.
So tell us about it. All of the sexiness.
I got it day one. Very exciting. I was one of those ones that got up and I had everything ready to go and ordered it at 2 a.m. in the morning.
That's
well, you know what, though? At least this year, they made it on a Friday night or / Saturday morning. So
you didn't have to at least like then get up a few hours later and go to work.
Right. So, I really appreciated that from Apple this year. This year, we had to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was just a week last year, wasn't
it? Yeah. And I don't know what's up with that, because that's not good for Jeff. Jeff is not a patient person. Yeah, so
old instant gratification Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I got it on Friday. It's in gorgeous packaging like you would expect. I did happen to get the rose gold, and it's pink. I'm not going to lie. It is pink.
And then you promptly put it in a clear case so that everyone knew you had the newest iPhone.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I'm holding it up so you can see it in my clear case.
It kind of actually looks green in the light.
Well, yeah,
but it looks just like an iPhone.
Yeah, it's an iPhone. Imagine that.
Now, I had heard that it was possible this one was going to be a hair thicker than the 6. Is it the same form factor?
I think it's like a tenth of a millimeter thicker, although the case, it fits the case fine. No problem getting it in the case. I have the one of the Apple leather cases as well.
Mm-hmm.
Fits in that fine too. So I don't know. It must be such a negligible amount smaller that the case tolerances are accept that. Now, one thing I will tell you, it is significantly heftier.
Really?
It is noticeably heavier.
Now, is that because of the 3D touch mechanisms?
Yes, it absolutely is. I want to say it's a pretty good amount heavier. I mean, they say it is just the 3D touch, because it actually has a smaller battery.
Yeah, I had heard that. Now, is the battery life the same, or did they somehow manage to make it last the same even with a smaller battery?
It is. It lasts probably longer than my other one.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that the new chipset is just more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it lasts like a champ. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow,
I have no problems whatsoever. So for all intents and purposes, other than that, I did get the rose gold one because scratch the surface and what do you see? More surface. It is, for all intents and purposes, exactly the same. No one could tell. If I had a gold one or a silver or a space gray, no one would be able to know that there was any different. So
is the 3D touch all of the amazingness?
Man. Yes, it really is. And it's going to be better, because right now there is no one using it. I mean, it's all Apple apps.
Right.
There are a few people that have,
well, it's only been out for, 4 days now?
Yeah. Almost all the Apple apps, not even all the Apple apps, have the Force Touch enabled. I'm trying to think of the Apple apps that I found that don't. Podcast doesn't have anything. Well, okay, let me break it up. There's two features for Force Touch right now, really. There is the features on the home screen. And what that enables is, when you force press an Apple app, okay, like let's say calendar, you force press that, it's going to give me, it shows me the next thing on my calendar, and then it also has an add event.
So you don't even have to go in.
See?
Yeah, nice.
You can just, and so there's all those, the camera has, record slow-mo video, record video, take a photo, take a selfie. It has four options.
Very cool.
Mail has look at all inboxes, search, create a new message, look at VIP messages. If you do the phone, the phone brings up like three of the most used contacts that you have.
Oh, cool.
But not even all the Apple apps have those available. For instance, podcast doesn't have anything. Let's see.
Stocks? Why, what would be there to force touch?
Keynote doesn't have anything. Number, you know, none of those do.
Right.
Calculator does not. Weather does not.
Now that one's interesting because I could see if you had multiple locations in your weather app, you could like pop up and see the current weather in all of them without having to go into the app if you just wanted a quick, you know, what's
now,
the temperature?
Find My Friends does. Wallet does. So, I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that not all Apple, I just assumed all Apple apps, you know, from day one would. They don't.
So other than giving you options to open an app specifically to a certain place, I know it also controls like access to the app switcher and other things like that. Okay. How have you found that to be?
Okay, so that's my favorite part about it. On the app switcher, when you push hard from the edge over, and if you just flick your finger, mm-hmm. in one motion, it switches between the last app and your current app.
Oh,
so
cool.
Like I can sit there. Okay, so I have it on camera. If I flip over, it's going to go to mail.
Okay.
If I flip over, it's going to go on camera.
Oh, that's slick.
I can just keep doing back and forth. It's the, you know, the last two apps.
Right.
If you just kind of barely flick it and don't go all the way over, then it actually goes to the app switcher.
Oh, that's cool.
And I use that. I don't use the home button hardly at all anymore.
Huh.
Which is interesting.
Really slick.
Then when you're in the apps, they do the peek and pop thing. And, you know, okay. I don't know, the gimmicky way to call it, but it does kind of give you an idea what it's going for. If you barely press down, okay, it peeks in. So on email, if I barely press down, it kind of pops up. It pops up the email message so you can kind of see it.
Okay.
But yep. It doesn't go all the way in. From there, when you're holding down on that finger, if you swipe to the right, that puts it in the trash. If you swipe to the left, that puts it in archive. If you okay. swipe up, it'll give you options like you can forward it, you can reply, you can whatever.
That's slick.
So that's really kind of nice. I use that to read all my email. I switched back to the Apple Mail app.
Oh, what were you using?
I was using a combination of Outlook.
I like the new Outlook mail
inbox,
app on iOS.
The Google Inbox mm-hmm, app. Mm-hmm. But just being able to do the little, you know, peek in and see, oh, it's something I want, or if I don't want it, I just flick it, it's trashed. I've switched back, and wow. I use the Apple Mail. Now, you know, I may switch back again if, you know, Inbox
yeah,
and Outlook.
I assume it's
you know,
just a matter of time before those third-party apps implement API calls into that to do
I
the same
assume,
thing.
I would assume. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how long that takes, because I have switched back to Calendar. I've switched back to Mail. I mean, it's just like I wasn't using any of those apps, and now I am, so I don't, you know, it'll be interesting to see how long it takes. But it is, I mean, it is really nice. And I just kind of feel like they're not even using, you know, everything that they can yet. I'm really excited about it. And the tactile feedback is really nice.
So it has the haptic engine, like the Apple Watch, right?
It absolutely does.
How does it work on a phone? Because like with the watch, it's nice because it actually feels like somebody's tapping you on the wrist. But what's that like on the phone?
When you're pushing down, it's like, I don't know if you used my MacBook.
Yeah, where it actually feels like the trackpad is clicking.
It feels like your phone's clicking.
Wow, that's cool.
And, you know, it's pretty easy to use. I don't, you know, I like it. I think it's, I really do think that it is a big deal.
You know, it's interesting. I've actually read in the last couple of days a couple of articles from, you know, tech reviewers and tech blogs who have to review this stuff as part of their job. And two or three of them now I've seen where they said, you know, I'm an Android guy, but I got the iPhone and I have to review it for the blog. And they've all said the same thing, which is, holy cow, 3D touch is going to be the game changer, because none of them were prepared to really say it was anything other than a gimmick until they'd spent a few days or a week with the phone. And they all said, you know what, if there's one feature I want to take back to my Android phones, it's Force Touch, it's 3D Touch, it's that ability.
The one other that I think is a game changer that I just love is when you're typing in an app, and this has gotten me back to the stock keyboard, so, you know, go figure. It's like taking me back to stock everything. When you're typing a message in, if you messed up a word,
okay,
right, if you force press on the keyboard, it
turns just on the key itself?
Anywhere on the keyboard.
Okay.
It turns it into a trackpad. And then you're controlling where the cursor is with your finger.
Oh, that's nice, because it's kind of a pain in the butt sometimes to get the cursor back to a word.
Yeah, so you can get your cursor back to the word. You can kind of drag and drop it, and it'll highlight. I mean, it's like having a little mouse. It's like having a trackpad. It is awesome.
I haven't seen that feature advertised. That's really cool.
It is nice. Because I always had a hard time getting, I didn't get it right where I need to rechange the word.
Right.
Anyway, it's amazing.
Well, you know, speaking of advertising, I don't know that I've seen an official Apple commercial yet for the iPhone. I've seen Carrier commercials for the new iPhone. Has Apple released any commercials that are Apple commercials?
Yeah, I've seen a few Apple commercials.
Are you sure that they're Apple? Because I've seen a couple that I thought were Apple commercials, and then it turns out it was a Verizon or a T-Mobile commercial.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, they've all had Verizon or T-Mobile or something with them. I just assumed it was co-branded with Apple because it seems like an Apple commercial.
At this point, does Apple even have to advertise? I just read that they sold 13 or 13.5 million
phones.
Handsets in 3 days, which is a new record. Yeah. So every time they come out with a phone, it's a new record.
I don't even understand like how they sell. I don't know. The Force Touch, I mean, honestly, I cannot believe how much of a difference it is. I mean, it makes a big deal.
Yeah, I've been reading that. And
it's not, I mean, again, it's not even fully realized yet because I think third-party apps are going to do some amazing things with that.
Yeah.
So
now, with the Apple Watch, it has Force Touch. They haven't, unless they've rebranded it too to 3D Touch. But, you know, I notice sometimes that when I go to dismiss a bunch of notifications, I'll push on it, but it doesn't register that I'm Force Touching it and I have to stop and then push again. And I'm not going to say it's buggy, but sometimes I don't know if it's just the angle I'm pushing at with the watch on my wrist or not. But have you run into any kind of problems like that where the phone doesn't recognize the Force press on the iPhone?
Nope. I have not had a single problem.
That's very
with
cool.
It at all.
I am anxiously awaiting them to come back into stock so that I can finally upgrade. I was looking on Apple's website today, and you know, surprisingly, it says that stock is available in just 3 to 4 weeks. Which I know last year some of the model combinations were out like for months.
Well, wait till the thing I love, because I got a bonus tip for you.
Oh, I like bonus tips. Well, that's very cool. The other thing I wanted to kind of run through quickly is we touched on it on our last episode, but we really didn't get into it. And I just wanted to kind of highlight some of the things that we have noticed with iOS 9. And,
well, I want to talk a few more things about the phone.
Oh, go ahead.
That I find interesting. The first, and I know a lot of people have touched on this in reviews that I've read, but the Touch ID.
Oh, I've heard it's instantaneous.
I defy anyone to be able to wake their screen up using the home screen with a finger that is registered and not unlock the phone. It is impossible.
So you just click the button and
like,
it's unlocked.
If I click the look, you saw how quick I did that, right?
Okay. Well, I can't see the screen. So okay, for those of you at home, okay, I'll do a play by play because we're not doing a video podcast. Okay. Oh, that was just insane. So he literally just clicked the button. Like I would do mine to wake mine up, and then I'd have to put my finger there for a second, and it unlocked the phone and went right to the home screen.
You cannot wake up the phone pushing the button.
Wow.
You can't do it. Like it every time. Every time it just unlocks. If you're used to waking your phone up by pressing the home button notifications, you're going to have to change your behavior. You're going to have to push the power button.
Wow.
Because it will not do it. Or have one of your thumbs not be recognized or one of the fingers that you normally use to unlock it. You know, don't put that finger in so that it doesn't register. If you want to use the home button.
You know, that's interesting because I do like to wake the screen and see notifications.
Yeah, so you're going to have to get used to hitting the power button.
Wow. So that is amazing how fast
that is.
I mean,
it is. I can't, like, I read the reviews and I don't know. I hadn't really been paying that close attention to it. And just assumed, because I had gotten used to pushing the button, just keeping my finger there because that's, you know, that's how you had to do it. And
sure.
So I didn't know that I recognized. And then as soon as I read that in an article, I was sitting there trying, like I am trying to make it wake up and not unlock, and you cannot do it. It is crazy. It is so fast.
Yeah, because I just timed it on mine, and it took a button push of the home button, and then it took me 1.5 Mississippis before it actually went to the home page,
like,
the home screen.
I mean, if I just tap it, it unlocks. It's It's amazing. It really is. The other thing I heard you could do if you want to fool it is if you move your finger left and right. You're sliding it, it will say, yeah, I can, if I'm sliding it, it won't unlock.
It doesn't do it. But if you just tap it, like you're going to tap the button to wake up the screen, it's instant.
Yes.
That's kind of amazing. You know, and I had read something, and unfortunately I don't have the specific article in front of me that had specs on it, but somebody was doing a benchmarking of the chip that's in the new iPhone, and it was beating out some of the old Intel Core, like desktop level CPUs. Now, obviously Core has got some age on it at this point. You know, I think the Core series came out 5-6 years ago, probably around the same time as the first iPhone. But the fact that we've got a mobile chip now with a CPU in it that's as powerful as a desktop CPU from 5 or 6 years ago, that's kind of unbelievable. And I guess that on Geekbench testing, even in single core mode, it is just smoking the pants off of quad and octa-core chips that are out there in top-of-the-line Android phones right now. So I guess now it's up to the next generation of the Notes and the Galaxies and all of that to see what they fire back with, because I guess from just a pure ability to crunch numbers standpoint, this new chip is just a major butt-kicker.
It really is. And the 2 gigabytes of RAM is actually, if you know what that does for you, is actually fairly noticeable. Because it can keep more apps in the memory, I noticed that where I'm not reloading as many apps.
When you switch back
to them. When I'm switching back and forth, it's just instantaneous. And with the force press and, you know, to be able to switch back and forth quickly, it's really nice. It really is.
Yeah, that's pretty sexy. I think I have finally made my mind up, Jeff. I'm going to get the big one.
Good job.
I'm
proud of you.
I was looking at them, and I've been looking at my phone and you know, being a little bit you know, kind of couch bound the last couple of weeks. I've been spending a lot more time on my phone, and I have to raise my glasses and hold it up close to my face because I'm an old guy. And I finally decided, you know what, damn it, I'm going to get the big one. Everybody said get the big one. I know 3 or 4 people who got the small one and then turned it back in and got the big one. And I figured, worst case scenario, if I hate it, I can always return it in my 2 weeks and get the small one. But yeah, I think it's the big one. It's got to be the one for me, the 6S Plus.
Yeah, the other big thing that they're touting is the whole live photo thing.
Is that a gimmick, or is that really something that you're going to use?
It's a gimmick. I am calling this one. This is 100% a gimmick. I mean, there are certain very specific times when that might be really cool, but for the most part, meh.
Do you think it's still going to be a meh when you can easily put one on Facebook or you can easily put one on Instagram?
You know,
because you can't do it right this minute.
Right. I don't know. I just don't. The average person is just not in the places where that kind of stuff really looks cool. I mean, most people are taking a picture of their dog or their cat. And, you know, I just, you know, yeah, someone standing in front of a waterfall, that looks really freaking awesome. How many people take pictures of people standing in front of a waterfall? I mean,
fair enough.
I just think that for the most part, it's a gimmick. There are going to be instances where, yes, it's cool, but I've taken 3 or 4 pictures and, you know, it's my dog looking at me. And okay, yeah, his head moves.
Okay. It's a big sweetie. Look at him. He's looking at me.
So, I mean, yeah, I think it's a little bit of a gimmick.
Well, and it's a bit cumbersome anyway, because I know you texted me a live picture, and from the messaging app, I couldn't do anything to see it. But if I saved it to my camera roll and then went into the camera roll and pulled the picture up and held my finger on it, it did show me the live picture, which is cool. But like, I'm never going to be able to explain to my mom how to do that.
No, yeah.
Like, that's just not going to be a thing that she gets.
Like you said, once it's something that you can maybe save and it's, you know, I'm sure Facebook will have it auto-playing because that's how they do everything. So
yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like it might be in the same camp as the slow motion, which is really cool. But how many times do you really shoot slow motion video?
Yeah,
I agree. And I never see slow motion video out there shared anywhere, really. I mean, it's few and far between.
Now, the one thing I will say, and I think it's actually an interesting comment, I think 4K video could be, you know, for people that really want to thank and use their noodle could be a big deal. Not because anyone's going to watch 4K video, but because of what you can do with a 4K video in editing.
Like what?
So you can, I mean, you basically have four 1080p shots to choose from.
I suppose you could drill in without sacrificing resolution.
You can drill in, you can pan, you can do all kinds of stuff that could be very interesting to do if you took a little bit of time editing. Now,
so that's really going to, that's going to,
how many people are going to do that? Not very many, but I just do think that there you can get something out of it.
Well, you say not very many, but not the average user who's shooting their kid's soccer game.
Right.
But someone who's actually trying to make a film?
Yeah, that could be a big deal.
That's interesting. I hadn't really even thought about using 4K workflow like that so that you're,
for Zoom?
Yeah.
For, you know, I mean, yeah, it could be a big deal.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, can you easily render from 4K to just 1080p?
Well, I have to assume somehow, because if you take the video in 4K on your phone, you don't have a 4K screen on your phone. So,
I got you.
I've taken some video.
So, yeah, I 4K still perplexes me because I get it's the future, but there's just no way to show it. I'm curious if that'll be, like you said, what the creative types start using it for is basically quad 1080p.
I can see myself playing with it. I mean, whether or not I'm good enough to do anything with it, I don't know, but I can see myself playing with it.
Now, I know that the phone has got a hefty little GPU in there to crunch all that video and push it around. But, you know, how much of a workhorse of a desktop are you going to need if you take that video off the phone and are crunching it on a desktop? That's going to be, I think, the real deal breaker for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'll have to play around with it and see how my MacBook Pro handles
it. You have to buy that new 5K iMac fully loaded out just to be able to push that 4K around. Okay, so any other thoughts on the phone hardware itself?
Hardware itself, I think that about wraps it up.
All right, so let's just do a quick rundown of some of the iOS 9 stuff
that
we didn't get to last week. So one of the things that I didn't even know, it may have been in one of the keynotes and it just flew, you know, under my radar, but Apple delivered a new app called News. And I don't know if it was intended to replace the newsstand that I never used in previous versions of iOS, but you basically can throw in there different categories of news and different sources that you like. And it's kind of like an RSS reader almost on your phone, and it really works well. And I found myself, you know, reading news, tech news specifically on the News app. And I don't know if you've played with it at all, Jeff, but I really like it. And it's kind of a sleeper. I haven't heard too many people talking about it or really saying much about it at all.
I do enjoy it. I think it's nice. I know that there's a lot of talk that a lot of people are going to be pushed towards using it rather than relying on you going into Safari because of the ad blocking that's available in Safari now. And in the news, you can monetize through, you know, Apple ads. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I have an RSS feeder. I'm a Feedly user.
Yeah, I am too. But I don't like Feedly on my phone.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. And I definitely like the Apple News feel better. Mm-hmm. I haven't got the Apple News quite set up the way I want it yet. I mean, I'm close. But yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's a nice little app.
It's one that I just haven't heard much about, and I really like it. I think it's a neat little thing that they included. Now, my girlfriend immediately said, "Hey, I don't like this. Why do they keep putting apps on my phone?" I don't think that she's used it at all. But I do wish that Apple gave you a way to take those apps off, because you know, I get that, you know, they're not going to let you take off the phone app or, you know, something like that. But, you know, not everybody wants Find My Friends or Find My iPhone or News. And now those are there. And if you don't like them, you got to stick them in a folder. So I definitely don't like that about how Apple does it. Once they decide that it's on the phone, it's on the phone, whether you like it or not.
Interestingly, though, I wonder when you swipe over from the home screen and get the, you know, the nice little Siri suggested contacts mm-hmm. and apps, and it has mm-hmm. news on that. I wonder if it's using the news app, because I know one of the things that Tim Cook said when he was asked about that was that sometimes that those apps are built in other areas and it could break things if we took it off the phone. Hmm. And when you swipe over on that home screen, it does give you some news articles down at the bottom there. And I wonder if that's integrated into the news app.
Well, it may use that engine, but I'm looking here at mine, and so obviously it's the big story that signs of liquid water found on Mars from NASA, which mm-hmm. is just being announced today. So the first one is linked to the New York Times, the second one is USA Today, and those are not sources that I follow in the news app.
But so if you click on that article, it takes you into the news app.
Yeah, so it's obviously using that engine, but it's not sources that I've set up.
Right, but there again, I think it's the kind of thing where, you know, they're using that engine, and if you uninstalled that app,
all right. So don't even let me uninstall it, but let me mark the little X like yeah. I was going to uninstall it, and just hide the icon from me, Apple. I don't yeah. want to have the separate folder like I have today
yeah.
with all of the unused stock apps that I just don't want to see.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think some of that too, though, is just you know, let me decide what's on my home screen.
Yeah,
I mean, you know. Right?
Yeah. The keyboard finally shows lowercase, and
yeah.
hallelujah, that is so long overdue, and I
yeah.
really like it now. I mean, like, it's amazing. I can't even believe that we went 7 years, something like that, without having that. I don't know how that has been a thing, but they finally fixed it, so that's great. You know, I think it's cool because, you know, we've been saying, like, hey, Shlomo and hey, Shazam and all of that, so that we're not waking up everybody's somewhat favorite voice assistant, but it now recognizes your voice. So in yeah. theory, I should be able to say that all I want and not wake up all of our listeners' phones because you
yeah,
have
the
to
problem
train
is it's going to wake my phone up because
well,
if I say
if
it,
you
because,
say it.
Yeah.
Ah,
but and it works like a champ.
It does. I have turned it back on where if it's connected to power, it will listen to me. At least on the iPhone 5S, it has to be connected to power to work. So
right.
It is not an option. I think that you had said you thought it was available on all of the phones as a feature of iOS 9, but it is not.
Yeah.
That, I think, is part of that new coprocessor chip. It might be available on the 6, but it's definitely not on the 5S. The battery breakdown screen is a lot nicer, where it shows the percentage used as well as how much foreground screen time as well as background time has been consumed.
Right, that's very nice.
You know, the one thing I've noticed, and it's kind of a one of those things that I hate about Facebook, even though it's still on my phone, is, you know, despite disabling background refresh and all of that, Facebook is still consuming background time on my phone. And now I actually see it through that app, but there doesn't seem to be anything I can do about it. I've even tried force quitting the app and go back and look, and it's still consuming background time somehow. Damn it, Facebook. I mean, I suppose I could go to the mobile webpage, but that kind of sucks too. Why does Facebook have to do that?
Yeah. Wonder if you turned off, I don't know, you don't have location services turned on for Facebook, do you?
Not for Facebook, no. I mean, I've got everything for Facebook turned off. Background refresh, I don't think I give it access to GPS. It has access to my camera, and I think that's about it.
Wow. And, yeah, I don't know.
And I've noticed it's not just the Facebook app, it's also Facebook's iOS paper app, which I actually prefer.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
And that one seemed to be an even bigger culprit than the Facebook app.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm kind of at a quandary. I don't really post a lot to Facebook. I use it more just to kind of keep up with people and family and stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm like, man, how much better battery life would I be getting if I could just dump this piece of crap software?
Yeah.
I haven't quite brung myself to uninstall it.
But do you ever really find yourself running out of battery for the day? I mean, if you go to the 6S Plus, you're not going to run out of battery.
You know, I do, but that's because I'm on a 2-year-old phone
yeah,
that, you know, yeah. has had several upgrades on top of, you know, never being sure. refreshed. And so I don't know how much I can blame on, you know,
yeah.
two new OSs versus, it, you know, it could be a bad app or something that's on there.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a problem once you go to the 6S Plus.
Yeah. And I'm frequently around a place to plug in enough. It's never been a deal breaker.
Right,
but there have been
right.
times it's been, you know, it's been cutting it close, getting in the car at
yeah,
night.
I mean,
30%
I've been using
life.
My phone all day. Haven't had it plugged in once. I'm at 64%.
Wow. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, It works. I did notice that the app slicing feature that I talked about has actually not has not come out yet. It's been delayed.
Yep.
They're having some problems with iCloud backup and how it uses iCloud backup. And so that's still yet to come.
Yeah, and no mention on when they're going to have that rolled out.
No. Also, Wi-Fi calling is not yet available on AT&T.
Oh, was it supposed to be?
That was supposed to roll out with iOS 9. There is an option to set it up. If you go into settings, there's a little place that in phone that you can say enable Wi-Fi calling, and it'll pop up and say, "We're sorry, this feature is not yet available on your network." So there was some kind of problem there.
Is that an AT&T issue, or is that an iPhone issue, or an iOS issue?
I'm sure it's probably an AT&T issue. Although in the beta, it worked. So I don't know what's going on there. So that's interesting.
You know, I have to say I am really hot and cold on Wi-Fi calling. When it works, it works great. But I'm on T-Mobile still, and they do have Wi-Fi calling, and I've been using it since it came out in iOS 7.
Sure.
And I constantly will have people tell me like halfway through a conversation, like, "I can't hear you," and I hear them fine, but it just drops, and then I have to turn off Wi-Fi, and usually that drops the call, and then I call them back on 4G or LTE, and everything's fine. It got so bad for me to the point where I disabled Wi-Fi calling, and I just had a real problem with it.
Maybe that's the kind of thing they're seeing, and that's why they turned it off. I don't know. I mean, I just wanted to point out that it's not available yet. So,
who calls on a phone in 2015? Yeah. I mean, I probably don't use 40 minutes a month. It's just nothing.
Yeah. I understand.
That's interesting, though. Yeah.
The low power mode, that's kind of an interesting one. That's been available on Android for a long time.
It is. I haven't used it yet, but I do like that when your device hits 20%, it'll actually pop up and prompt you to enable low power mode. And then once you've charged back above 20%, it'll automatically disable it, which is really slick because you don't have to remember to turn it on and turn it off.
Right.
And the putting the phone face down, it won't light up the screen for notifications, which is about dang time.
Okay, and here's another interesting tidbit, and we were kind of talking, this goes back to something I said earlier. If you put your phone face down and you say, "Hey, Siri," nope.
Really?
It does not wake up. So if you don't want someone to be able to take over your phone, or you're recording a podcast and you don't want your phone to go, "Yes, what do you need, Jeff?" If you put your phone face down, it will not recognize the "Hey, Siri."
Which is great, except now you've said it twice, and I guarantee you that there are some people who listen to the show who have not upgraded and are now cursing you because their phone is asking what they can help them with.
Call Jeff Cheney. Oh, what? What? Huh? Guess I'll see who listens to the show that knows me.
The back to button is such a minor little thing, and it is great. So when you open an app like an email, and there's a link in there or an attachment or something like that, and you go into it, in the upper left hand corner of the screen where you normally have the battery life and your Wi-Fi indicator, you get a little back to, and then wherever you came from, and you just tap that and it sends you right back, which, man, I love that.
And with Force Touch, it's just drag from the left hard and you're there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Touch sounds better and better every time hear or read about it. I don't know how many people out there use the health app. I love it. And it lets you track even more stuff. And finally, if you turn the phone into a landscape mode, you get a nice full screen graph of whatever it is you're tracking. And it's got a scale that you can click and auto scale up and down, and you can slide it back and forth to see, you can have it default into a day mode, a week mode, a month mode, or a year mode. But like if you go into like a week mode and then you say, "Well, you know, okay, so here's the last 7 days, but what was it like 8 days ago?" You can just slide your finger over and you can see, you know, what your blood pressure was, or what your heart rate was, or, you know, what your weight was, or your blood sugar, or whatever it is that you want to track. And there is a bunch of stuff that you can track in there. I really think that health is one of those underutilized, not really talked about a lot apps, and you know, it's great. I really like it. You know, every time I go to the doctor and they take your blood pressure and your weight and your height and all that, you just go in there and pop it in there. You know, all that fun stuff. It's really a cool little app. And the last thing I had on my little list of tidbits, and this isn't really so much an iOS 9 feature, is more of just a, you know, how does Apple do it consistently? But I did see, and this is as of last week actually, that over 50% of iOS devices are now running 9.0. So Apple definitely knows how to get that adoption out there. I had read an article, and I don't remember the specific number, but it was something like 24 or 28% of Android devices were running Lollipop. So, and how long has Lollipop been, you know, generally available? It's been months now. So, I mean, Apple definitely knows how to get that update out there. I think that's a huge benefit of them controlling everything from the hardware up through the software and really cutting the carriers out. Definitely something I think Google needs to flex their muscle and do. I think that would be a huge coup if Google could get to the point where they have Android updating with, you know, even half of the speed at which Apple can get those updates out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I realize that, you know, they lose a lot because, you know, they're not directly controlling the hardware, and there's a lot of phones out there that can't run the latest and greatest Android builds, and Apple has a lot tighter control over that. But still, it's, you know, I happen to really like that about the Apple ecosystem, that you know, when it's out, it's available. And, you know, how far back does iOS 9 run? I think it'll run on everything back to the 4S, doesn't it?
I believe it's the 4S, maybe the 5.
So, I mean, it's that's, either the 4S still, or the 5. What, 4 years of phones?
Yeah. So even if it's the 5, that's what, 4 years?
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Now, it
yeah.
may not be the best performing on an iPhone 5. Well, I take that back because my girlfriend still got the 5, and she upgraded to 9, and it's been fine for her.
That's great.
She hasn't really noticed any, other than the extra icons that it put on there, she hasn't complained about the speed or anything like that, other than the standard, you know, my battery life sucks and we need to upgrade the phones, which, you know, now we're going to do. It's just there aren't any out there to upgrade to, so.
That's not true. Excuse me.
Well, to make sure we get what we want. So that was kind of my rundown. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to throw in there and add on iOS 9.
No, I think that about wraps it up.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of other stories. I know we're closing in on like the 45-minute mark. Do you want to pick one other one to talk about and see where that takes us?
Yeah, why don't we talk about Fox?
All right. So I saw this article the other day, and I don't know that I get it, but Fox says that they are going to bring more than 100 movies to the Oculus VR cinema. Some of the movies that they specifically listed are Alien, Birdman, Taken, Die Hard, Office Space, and others, which immediately made me go, okay, so like for an action movie, like Alien or Die Hard, I guess I can see that makes sense. But Office Space, like that doesn't to me seem like it needs to be a VR immersive movie.
I like Jennifer Aniston.
So I did a little bit more reading because I thought, well, you know, how are they going to take one of these older movies and make it 3D immersive? They only have the frame that the director shot. They don't have all of the rest of it. And it turns out they're not. So basically, it is going to be like you are sitting in a movie theater. And there was a little demo video of what it's going to look like inside of your Oculus Rift. And it's just like you're sitting in a movie theater. You see seats in front of you. You see a screen out in the distance. You can turn your head to side and up and down. And it looks like you're looking around in a movie theater. And I don't understand this at all.
No.
Like, not even a little bit.
No, I don't either.
So, and they say they're going to have tech available that will let you sync multiple oculi together so friends can come over and you can all have the same experience, but it doesn't put them in the theater. So you can't even look to your side and see your friend there. It's just you alone in a theater. And I suppose if you talk out loud, you would be able to hear your friends could hear you and you could hear them, but it would still be a very like solitary kind of experience.
I don't understand it. I mean, that's not giving you any, like literally nothing.
It's all of the drawbacks of going to the movies with no benefits of fresh popcorn or overpriced candy. I don't get it. You can pick your seat, so you can sit in the worst seat in the theater.
And I want someone 7'8" sitting in front of me.
I kid you not. There is a pop-up overlay control panel that shows you all of the seats in the theater, and you can click on it, and you are immediately transported to that seat, and your perspective and point of view and everything changes. So you can sit dead center. You can sit off to the side. You can sit in the front row. You can sit in the back row. It's
wow.
It's crazy.
I don't understand this one at all.
And you know, the thing that is kind of surprising to me is how beefy of a PC you'll need to run an Oculus. Apparently,
it's, yeah,
they're saying that you have to have a minimum of 8 gigabytes of RAM, which, okay, that's not so shocking anymore.
Right.
But you'll need at least an i5 processor or better and a pretty high-end video card. Now, I'm not up on my video cards because I don't really game anymore, but an NVIDIA GTX 970 or an AMD 290 or better. And I guess those are not entry-level cards.
No, I don't think they are.
So I know that a couple of manufacturers, Alienware and Dell, and there's one other one I can't think of the name of off the top of my head, have gotten together with Oculus, and they are creating a like Oculus ready rig that you can apparently buy that is supposed to come out at a right around the $1,000 price point that is going to be the minimum specs needed to run an Oculus rig.
I just did a quick search, and a GTX 970 graphics card runs you over $300 just for the graphics card.
That is definitely not entry level.
No, that is definitely not entry level. By any stretch of the imagination.
So I guess if you're really semi-serious about it, you can get into one of these Oculus-ready rigs for right around $1,000. But that's, you know, just going to be the rig to drive an Oculus. You still have to buy an Oculus, which I think are in the $300 price range.
The graphics on those still aren't all that great either, are they?
No, and that's the other thing.
Like, why would you want to watch... I don't understand why you would want to watch a movie where it's not even that you're watching the movie. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. So basically, the resolution is
1440, right? 2560 by 1440.
No, the one that is available coming first quarter of 2016 is going to be 1080 by 1200 per eye.
Right. So the resolution is 2160 by 1200.
Okay. Between both eyes. Yes, you are right. So, I mean, that's just about 1080p. I mean, it's a hair higher than 1080p. But from people who I have read have had a chance to use it, it's not a fine enough resolution to not be able to see the pixels.
Yeah, because it's right up next to your eyes.
Yeah, it's just like maybe an inch and a half away from your eyes. Now, they are pumping the refresh rate really high. It is a 90 hertz refresh rate, which is going to at least not make it hopefully feel like it's strobing.
Right.
But I've also heard that some people just get deathly sick and they have like motion sickness when using one of these. But the biggest complaint is that people say that, you know, at that resolution that they can still see the pixels. Not everybody can, but a lot of people can.
Yeah, I feel like I could.
Yeah. And I guess that the version that was kickstarted is 1280 by 800 per eye. Right. Or, no, I'm sorry, 1280 by 800. It's only 640 by 800 per eye.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's like staring through a screen, like an actual backdoor screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, nobody else seems to have anything like it out there. I mean, Oculus is kind of the game. And they're owned by Facebook, right? So I guess they've got lots of money to throw at this until they find a solution. But it seems like a weird thing.
Yeah, I don't know that it seems like anything. Like, I could see it being cool if it was an immersive experience, but I certainly can't see why you would want to watch a movie. That just blows my mind. And I think it's going to be for gamers, I guess. But even that, I don't know, because, you know, so many of the gamers are about, it's got to be the fastest possible and everything's got to be, you know, the graphics have to be spot on, crystal clear. And I just don't know how that's going to, I mean, obviously you got to take baby steps before you can run, but I don't know. It's just, this is definitely not something that's marketed towards me. I do not feel like I'm ever going to be the person, you know, I spend a lot of money on stupid stuff like a brand new phone every year. And I get that, like, that's an entitlement that, you know, a lot of people can't can't do what I do, and I am thankful that I can, but this is not something that makes me lust after spending my money on.
You know, the only thing I could even kind of say, man, I could see where that would be nice to have, maybe if you traveled like all the freaking time and you wanted to sit back on a plane and watch a movie and not be disturbed. Okay.
Maybe.
But it still seems like an odd skeuomorphic thing to feel like you're sitting in a theater. Like, just give me a giant screen in front of my eyes.
Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Now, with that being said, I just actually read something today, and I didn't catch in the article if it said it was Oculus technology or not, because it wasn't really talking about the technology per se. It was talking about how immersive video worlds are. Going to be a huge game changer. And apparently, like him or not, Bill Clinton has a foundation that is working to, and here's where my attention to detail goes out the window. I believe that they're trying to eradicate poverty in Africa. They're doing something in Africa. Africa needs a lot of help. And so his foundation has produced an immersive, like 7-minute video where you start sitting in his office in New York City with him across the desk, and he's talking to you about the foundation. And then it cuts to actual places in Africa where the foundation is doing these works. And it is, I guess, completely shot in 360-degree video. And while you're sitting there with him right across the desk talking to you, you can look around and you can like, look over at the bookcase and see what books he has on his bookcase, and look over at the walls and see all of the things on the walls. And apparently it is like after a minute or two, you completely forget you're inside of a video for all intents and purposes. And it's like you were there. It's like real. I'm very intrigued by the capability, but you know, you think 4K content is rare. There is, you know, try going for 360-degree content. That's definitely, I think, going to be the next big hurdle. It's just not out there. So, it is interesting. If you're interested, it's been all of the blogs, today, the 28th, and I'm sure it'll be out there. But if you Google, you know, Bill Clinton Foundation and virtual reality, I'm sure you'll find the articles. It was really interesting. So I could see something like that being being something that would be a useful, a use of this technology. I still don't see myself having a dedicated machine and, you know, sitting in front of my desktop with one of these things on my face. I don't know. The Microsoft's Holo is much more appealing to me, and I haven't heard much about that at all. And since it's been announced.
Yeah, that's.
Okay. Well, I think we're coming up on an hour. Why don't we talk about what we love and then wrap it up so everybody can get back to their day, because I know that they're just chomping at the bit to get back to work and stop listening to us.
right.
So what I love, I know last week or the week before, Jeff said he was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, and that's where I am. but this is actually kind of a useful thing. I love this cheap little bicycle light, and it's the Rio Rand 4-mode 1200 lumen Cree T6 bulb LED bike lamp, which is a huge long name for a ripoff thing out of China. It's it's basically a ripoff of like the really high end bike lights that you can buy. Comes with like a little battery pouch that you Velcro to the frame, and then it has a wire that runs up to a light that mounts on your handlebars. But it's great because it's really small. It's got a high, a normal, and a low mode, and a strobe, which works great when it's kind of getting dusky and you don't really need a light, but you want cars to see you. And then when it does get dark, it really lights up the road in front of you. You can get it on Amazon for like about $20, and the price fluctuates up and down $4 or $5. So if you want one, but you're not ready to pull the trigger, sit tight, use camel, and keep an eye on it. And you can actually get it for like about $18. And I've seen it as high as about $23, but it's a really nice little light, just simple bicycle light. And you can actually get a $5 wide angle lens with it that throws a real nice, maybe 8 feet out in front of your bike, it'll be like 12 feet wide. It really lights up the road. So definitely highly recommended if you do any biking in the evenings at dusk or, you know, when it's straight up dark. It's a great little bike light. I highly recommend it. And like I said, it's cheap. It's only about $20. So can't go wrong there.
Cool.
What do you love, Jeff?
So I'm going to give you my little bonus tip first.
All right.
And because you're in the market, if you go to iDeviceChecker.com,
I am doing it now.
You can search for your new phone.
Ooh.
So interestingly, if you only wanted a 16 gigabyte phone, you could go right now and buy one.
I don't.
I know.
Oh, that's cool. And it shows not just like the Apple Store, but everywhere that's selling it in town.
Right. So you want to pick the 6S Plus, and then you can pick what carrier you want, what size storage you want, and it'll pop up and show you what they have available. If you were going with just the 6S, you could go right now and get the 6S 64 gigabyte in gold, gray, or silver.
Oh, look at that.
At the store in Indianapolis.
So it says that there are no 6S Pluses. Because I'm saying, show me 6S Plus, any color, any storage, any carrier, and it tells me to go F myself.
No, it shows 16 gigabyte.
I'm sorry. There is a 16 gigabyte gold unlocked at our local Apple store.
Yep.
And one.
So anyway,
that's cool.
What is nice about that, I don't know if you notice, over there to the right, there's a little button that says notify me.
Ah, I see it.
And if you click on that, you can tell them specifically what you're looking for, and then you will get an email when it shows up.
Nice. And you put your zip code in and how far away you're willing to drive.
Yep.
And then give them all your personal information, including, oddly, bank account. I don't know why they need that.
Now.
Social security number, credit card, mother's maiden name.
Uh-huh. No, none of those things. He's just kidding, folks. It's actually really nice.
That is slick.
So, there's my bonus tip. If you're trying to find a 6S or a 6S Plus, it's kind of nice.
That's a solid nice little tip. That should have been your main tip.
Well, I'm going to kind of go, you know, the what I love right now, I'm really loving Diablo 3. So my oldest son went off to college, and we used to play Diablo 3 together, and we kind of dusted it off, you know, got the dust off the digital code, you know. And
does it work like that? I think you're mixing metaphors.
We both play it on our MacBook Pros, and we've been playing that together. We have Skype going in the background. We just kind of chat and play, and it's kind of been a nice way to, you know, stay in touch with him while he's away at college.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, I mean, nothing earth-shatteringly, you know, great there. You know, if you want to hook up on Diablo 3, maybe shoot me a tweet and maybe we could play a little bit.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So we're enjoying it. We really like it. And, you know, it's been long enough since I've played it that, you know, it's fun. And like I said, it's just a nice way to stay in touch with my baby that went away.
Well, and let's face it, you know, what 18, 19-year-old wants to more than just to, like, sit and talk with their parents all the time, but to play video games, that's a good way to suck them in.
And that's the thing, it sucks them in, and we're still talking about stuff, and yet it holds his interest because we're playing video games. So, you know, little tip, if you have a college-age kid that you're having a hard time staying in touch with, there you go, there's a tip.
That's
awesome.
Pick up
video games and get on that Skype account and have some fun.
Well, that's a good tip, Jeff. That's a great tip.
So
awesome.
Hey, you've just listened to another fine episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. And by fine, I mean, I promise next week we're going to cut this apple right down to the core. Cause I know we have some people that have just been cringing because all we've been talking about is Apple, and we'll get back to something else next week. I promise. But we enjoy Apple. So sorry. If you want to call in, give us any comments, any questions, anything that you want us to cover that we have not been, feel free to do so at 317-643-1212. You can follow us on Twitter at No Better Show. I am at Jeff_Cheney. Jacob is at Not the Real Jacob. You can visit our blog at www.nobettershow.com. You can send us email to feedback@nobettershow.com. We always enjoy the emails, the call-ins, comments. We appreciate that. If you do enjoy the show, we would appreciate it if you could tell your friends about us. You could subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. That helps us out a whole bunch, a handful of stars, really gets the word out there more than anything else, and we really appreciate any feedback that we get. Until next time, thanks for listening, and now you should know better than average too. Thank you.
Have a great week, everybody.